All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time and deal with on the program, certainly feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. It's in 1 Peter that we read in chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the Scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We see in these verses that on one hand, Jesus is a precious stone. On the other hand, he is a rock of offense. Offensive to some who never became disciples, obviously, like that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." And two, Jesus was offensive to some, even of his own disciples, because they turned and walked with him no more. This we read in John chapter 6, in verse 26, and also verse 60 down through verse 66. So Jesus and his way is precious to many, but offensive to others. But there are also other things that describe Jesus to people. One of those words is foolish. To many, he is foolish. In 1 Corinthians 1, we read, beginning with verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" We know, too, that Jesus is rejected as foolish by those that consider themselves worldly wise. In 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are a foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You take just the simple story of the gospel. That's foolishness to so many. Take the plan of salvation that God has given. That too is foolishness to so many. And the lifestyle that God would have us as his children to live. Again, that too is foolishness to so many. But also we find that we must, that he must be received as the wisdom of God, and that is only able to be done by those that are spiritually minded. So evidence is clear enough that we need to have an open mind to what the gospel teaches, to know that it is designed to glorify God, and certainly not to emphasize human wisdom. But also, Jesus is weak to many. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You know, to many, the kingdom of our Lord is a weak kingdom when you compare it to carnal standards. Politically, socially, financially, it's just not there. Well, militarily, again, it's not there. Remember Jesus said in John 18 and verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And when you look at it from a numbers standpoint, again, it is by worldly standards a weak kingdom. In Matthew 7, Jesus acknowledged this when he said in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But to the Lord it is a strong kingdom. Daniel prophesied it in Daniel 2 in verse 44 when he said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. But to another word that could be used about Christ is that to many he is hard. In John chapter 6, it's beginning with verse 60 that we read, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I say to you that no one can come to me except it be granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So truly, it's hard for those that are unwilling to take the yoke of Jesus and learn of him. In Matthew 11, we read in verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But yet there are many that think that his requirements are hard. There are many that think that the restrictions that he places upon us are hard. But you know it's easy and it's light for those who are willing to take up that yoke. In 1 John 5, it's in verse 1, it says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begat also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But too, another word that describes Jesus to many is dull. In Isaiah 53 and verse 2, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So many people think that Jesus is dull when they begin to measure him by the religions of the world. You know, if measured worship by artistic or entertainment value, then yes, Jesus is dull. The truth is dull. And if measured by enthusiasm, by emotionalism, or what we might call promotionalism, then again, Jesus and the worship under him is dull. But you know, worship should be a sober reflection that's based on the knowledge of God. Worship is not a pep rally. In Romans 12, we read in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And 2, in 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I'm sorry, I misread that. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And yes, Jesus is dull to many if it's measured by all of the organized activities. But friends, the bulk of what we do as Christians is done individually. But still, Jesus is dull to many. And 2, he's inadequate to many. In John 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. See, to many, Jesus is inadequate because they're expecting him to meet all of their earthly needs and all of their problems. And when Jesus does not meet all of their economic or social or political needs or the problems that occur in life, and certainly when Jesus does not usurp the role of God, other provisions that God has provided for in the home and in the state of our government, then certainly he is inadequate. But he is adequate for those whose prime aim is to go to heaven. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 17, Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. You see, in what we read to begin our study with in 1 Peter 2, as God's chosen people, let's not try to be offensive, but again, not be afraid to be offensive either. And as God's chosen people, let's not panic at every criticism. Let's not change things to pacify carnal minds. And as God's people, let's understand that while we may be offensive to many, we are precious to God. And 2, let us understand that God's way will eventually win out. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.